Today's scripture is from Hebrews chapter 1. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son today, I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness and beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Thanks be to God.
Church, as we hear from the Lord, let's start by speaking to the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, as I heard your word read, there's a bit of shudder to realize how beautiful and glorious is this living and active word that I have the privilege of trying to unpack. Lord, you know the truth of me. You know that I'm a broken, needy sinner, desperate of God's grace. But God, you know that we are also your people, thirsty to hear your word, needing, Father, your presence. What is clear is we need Jesus to be teacher. We need the Holy Spirit to be comforter. So, Father, would you send them in the power of your Spirit? And God, would you give us ears to hear your voice? May it be distinguishable for us. Would you give us minds to understand your word? Would you give us hearts that embrace your truth? Lord, there's so much truth here. We don't have time to unpack it all. It's glorious and it's beautiful and it's true. And God, but would that truth transform us as the gospel is the power of God to do? And would you empower our feet to walk in a manner worthy of your name? God, the things that are said that are wrong or just my opinion, let those things be forgotten and fall away. But the things that are said that are true about Jesus, your Son, our Savior, about the gospel, use those things to make us more like your Son, Jesus. We pray in his matchless name. Amen. So tonight, you probably know, there's a big game tonight. It's a huge game. Are you excited about the game? Anybody here excited about the game? We had somebody walk into church with a New York Jet hat. Talk about missing the excitement of the game. Like, dude, yeah, go Jets, right? I mean, go Jets. There he is. I wasn't pointing you out, Gary. I'm a Bills fan. I'm a fellow loser. It's okay. I'm with you. So, oh, Gary, that kind of faith moves mountains. I don't know if they win football games, but anyway. So, actually, are you more excited about the game or the commercials, really? Are you more excited about Taylor Swift or the entertainment for halftime? Who is it this year? I don't even know. Is it Usher? Who is it? It is Usher. I thought that's who gets you to your seat. All right, forget it. Terrible. All right, I know that was bad. I'm sorry. It was really bad. So Patrick Holmes, all right, not a bad quarterback, pretty good. The question that will rage today, tomorrow, and the coming days ahead is this. Is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback ever? All right, now listen, his playoff record, by the way, we're getting to Jesus, don't worry. His playoff record is 14-3. He has now already, in his young career, has as many playoff wins as the amazing Peyton Manning did in his entire career. And they are saying that what is happening, his impact on winning is undeniable, and he is is this according to CNN? You know they're trustworthy. At the very least, on pace for staking claim to be the best quarterback ever. Is he the best ever? We see the book of Hebrews is saying repeatedly that Jesus is the GOAT. Jesus is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. There's no arguing that Jesus is the GOAT. He's telling this to people that are kind of wavering, thinking, we put our faith in this Jesus. Life is God and hard. Should we go back to our old ways? Is there someone who is greater? Is there someone who is better? Is there a better way to live our lives than to follow this king named Jesus, this crucified, resurrected king? Is he really the GOAT? And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, there is no one, there is no thing greater than Jesus. He's basically saying that in this Jesus, he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Now, I know I just said something that might have gone in one ear, not the other, but listen to how huge this is. This is saying that Jesus, all the promises of God, all the Old Testament promises fulfilled the New Testament, he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. I mean, it's absolutely amazing that Jesus, he's actually the substance of all the shadows, all the things that took place, all the rituals, all the religious stuff like the sacrifices, all those things were shadows, and he is the actual substance of all of those things, all of that reality. That he is the ultimate prophet. Remember, we learned last week, a prophet is someone who speaks for God to us, but he's the ultimate one because he's the Son. He's the ultimate priest. Remember, we talked about last week, a priest represents us to God and a sacrifice and pleads with us. He offers the ultimate sacrifice, himself. Amazing. And he is ultimately the ultimate king. I know that he's a baby that at one time was wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger, meek and lowly, but he is King of Kings and he's coming back as Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, Scripture says he's coming back to judge us. I mean, wow. I mean, read Psalm 2, a little different than the manger scene that we have of Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate messenger of God. He is the ultimate messenger. He left heaven, came to earth. He put on flesh to dwell among us. Jesus is the ultimate messenger, but watch this. He's also the ultimate message of God. The messenger and the message. He is that, we sang about it, he is that suffering servant that was promised to come to be pierced for our transgressions, and he is the promised king. Huh. All at once, talk about a goat. He is both the Passover lamb that was slain to take away our sins, and he is the Lion of Judah. I mean, wow, talk about a goat. You could be both lamb and lion. We call that goat, greatest of all time. He is both meek and lowly, accessible to all of us. None of us have gotten so low that we've disqualified ourselves from God's love. None of us deserve it because he's meek and lowly, but he's also high and holy. Jesus, he is the one and only. This is Jesus. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, hey, listen, you can't miss this. Fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on him. Turn your life toward him. Interesting, one of my favorite songs, a song that means a great deal to me because my mother sang this song to my grandfather who was passing into glory, saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Look fully into his marvelous face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as my mother sang that to my grandfather on his deathbed, he reached out to heaven, apparently saw Jesus and passed away. I mean, how cool. Turn your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. And interestingly, I love that song. It says, the things of life will grow strangely dim. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the things of life don't necessarily grow strangely dim. They become amazingly transparent. They become amazingly transparent what they really are. What are the things of life? What are the things we're hoping for? What are the things that we're really looking for? I mean, he will show us the reality of who life is. It's found in him. How we ought to live our lives. He's God, right? I mean, he's the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. So we fix our eyes on him. Things don't necessarily go incredibly dim. The lights come on. And the lights come on and we see who we are. We see who he is. And so we're going to fix our eyes on him. And as we look at this text, we were in verses 1 through 4 last week. We're going to pick back up on 4 this week and go down through 14. By the way, church, we're going to make our way through this entire amazing letter, 13 chapters. But today we're going to look at this. Jesus is greater than angels. The Son is greater than a servant. Being worshipped is greater than worshipping. Ruling is greater than serving. And the message is greater than the messenger. Do you guys have that slide? Okay, boom, bang, there it is. Okay, so Jesus is greater than angels. We're going to look at the Son is greater than servants. Being worshipped is greater than worshipping. Ruling is greater than serving. And the message is greater than the messenger. So, again, as we read this text, Hebrews 2, it's very, Hebrews 1, verse 4, it's very interesting how it begins. It begins almost confusing. If Jesus is the goat and always has been the greatest of all time, by the way, those of you who miss goat, you're a little old. I'm on the cusp. Somebody had to tell me. Greatest of all time. Because Jesus is the greatest of all time. If that's the case, why does it say this? It says this, having become. The Greek word is just one word, becoming. Having become, becoming as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited. He inherited a name, is more excellent than theirs. So let's just going to say Jesus is greater than angels because he's having become. Doesn't it sound, stick with me, this is really cool. Because doesn't it sound that there was a time that Jesus wasn't greater than angels? Doesn't it sound like there was a time where angels were superior to him? What time could that be? I mean, what? I mean, isn't this God's eternal Son? Isn't this the one who created the universe? Isn't this the one who holds all things to in his existence, in his hands? And so how in the world can we say he has become? He became greater. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you don't have one, there's one in front of you in the pew. If you turn to Psalm 8, Psalm 8 starts off this way. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars that you have set into place. What is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? But then it's going to go on and say this. Yet you have made him lower than the heavenly beings. So man, this is you and me, this is us, man and woman. We've been made, who are we? But God made us, it says, lower than the heavenly beings, but he crowned us with glory and honor. Okay? So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 7, is going to quote that psalm a little differently. Here's what Hebrews 2, 7 says. You made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with honor and glory. So this is amazing because Psalm 8, David would write this thinking that God is speaking to him. He was, God breathed, and saying that you and I, men, that we have been made with an amazing dignity. Who are we that God cares about us? But he made us a little bit lower than the angels, but he wants us to rule and reign for him. And now the writer of Hebrews is saying, really, that psalm, like all psalms, all scripture fulfilled by Christ, that at one time, for a little while, God made him a little lower than the angels. You see, he became man. He put on flesh. He dwelt among us. There was a little while, so he has become. It's always true, but it's now been declared true because of what he has done. So that time frame where he walked the earth, there was a time frame where he was fully man, still fully God, meek and lowly, amazingly. That was like a probationary time. Is the promised son going to be what we all thought he would be? Is he going to do everything the Father has given him to do? Will he seek and save the lost? Is he going to lose any? Is he going to be able to really open up heaven? Is he really going to be able to bridge the gap between holy God and sinful man? Is he really going to make us righteous and holy in his sight through his blood and righteousness? Will it work? Well, the only way we know is he had to come low. He had to come low and come and get us. It says, so not only has having become, it says he inherited a superior name. He has inherited a superior name. We want to say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't he always have the name? I mean, God's son inherits a name? Well, let's look at what Paul wrote in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, I'm going to pick up in verse 5. It says this, who, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, this is basically saying, though he is fully God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus would put on flesh. Watch this. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So here is God's Son becoming a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being born like us, and being found in human form, truly human. And he humbled himself, being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wow, talk about obedience. Talk about a descending from heaven all the way to man, all the way to servant, all the way to the cross. Therefore, God his Father has highly exalted him and bestowed on him, inherited, the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So here's what it's saying. What has always been true throughout all eternity has powerfully been declared to be true through Jesus' resurrection. Now, because of what he has done, the Father says, I'm going to give you the name that is above every name. You're going to inherit this name. In this name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Let me tell you, it's true. This is God's word. There's no one who has ever been created that will not one time in creation and eternity not confess the reality of who Jesus really is. And for those of us like me who have the grace of God, for a sinner like me that can say Jesus is Lord today, oh, what amazing grace to see that reality. So when he says, listen, Jesus is superior to the angels, no duh. But more than that, there's something more that's happening here. He has become, because of how low he went, God highly exalted him. That is true. He is the Son. They are servants. Jesus is the only eternal begotten Son. He's going to say, you know, what son does he, what angels does he call the Son? He's going to quote Psalm 2 there. He's going to be, let's look back at it. So Hebrews 1, it's going to compare him. It's going to say, hey, of which angels does he say this? For verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. So here's the cool thing, church. Read Psalm 2. Psalm 2 will ask, why do the nations rage against the Lord's anointed? They were probably thinking, why do the nations rage against David? But this, if you read Psalm 2, it says, we are to kiss the Son. There's one whose kingdom will endure forever. All that points to Jesus, that he is God's only begotten Son. And then it says this, or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Church, let's hit pause and just say something right here. The seven quotes of the Old Testament in what we just read. And I don't have time to unpack them all. But I'm going to tell you something. What he just said right there, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. It's 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And some of you are saying, well, what was that story? Here's the story. David goes to Nathan, the prophet, says, I'm in this big house. God lives in a tent. This can't be right. I'm going to build God a temple. And Nathan says, great job. Do what's in your heart. God comes to Nathan and says, tell David, uh-uh. Do I ever ask him, do I need anything? He's not going to build me a temple. But his son will. And his son will build me a temple. His name's Solomon. And I will be to him a father. And he will be to me a son. So this text was written about Solomon, and here you have it being claimed by the writer of Hebrews about Jesus. And he said, ultimately, it wasn't Solomon, it was David's greater son. It was Jesus who he'll say, I'm his father, this is my son. It's Jesus, Jesus' baptism with the Father will say, this is my beloved son, and whom I really love. It's Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration that the Father will say, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. So here's the point. Jesus, when he was resurrected, shows up on a road to Emmaus, and there's a couple of guys walking, and they're freaked out, thinking, we thought Jesus was Messiah, but clearly he's not. They crucified him. We were there. It's been 3 days. What in the world? And Jesus says, you are so foolish, you're not to believe. He needed to be crucified and suffer. So he starts with Moses, and he goes through the entire Bible, and he shows it was all about him. So here we have a passage in 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 14 that really talks about Solomon, but really talks about Jesus. Is that not cool? This is your Bible. You dig into it. The story's better than you can even imagine. The Son is greater than the servant. Jesus is the eternal only begotten Son, but he's also the one who became the beloved Son by what he has done. Angels are created beings. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. But you know, here's the cool thing is, his sonship was proclaimed with power after his resurrection. Just like I told you, at a certain time, he was descended and he was elevated. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, who was descended from David. So it's basically saying, okay, this Jesus, he came from a certain line of David. David was a promised king. So he's fully man. He's coming from the line of David. He's going to be the promised king. But watch what it says. There's even more. Just love this reality. Let me find my place. Beforehand, the scriptures to be through the line of David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's what this means. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, always has been. But all the promises of God find their yea and yes in Christ's resurrection. He was declared with power. You wonder about this Jesus, this meek and mild one? You wonder, man, that grave is empty. He defeated death. He defeated our sins. So the Father, it says, this proclaims with power the reality that this is the Son. This is the it's like his seal of authenticity. This is basically saying, clearly there's no argument. It's a mic drop. The tomb was empty. He lives, we live. He's clearly the Son. Son is greater than the servants. Angels are created beings to serve. Serve God who created them. Watch this about angels. They're created to serve God, and they're also created to serve God's people who inherit salvation. That's us. So where do angels rank? It says, scriptures, Peter says, angels want to look into our salvation, saying, how did God rescue them? How did God make them heirs? How did God make them children? There's so much love there. It's amazing. So angels, it's better to be worshiped than worshiping. He says, you know, which one of the angels did he ever say you're to be worshiped? We know that angels worship Jesus in Bethlehem. They couldn't stop singing. We know that the angels right now worship Jesus as the Lamb who is slain around his throne in the book of Revelation. That's what angels do. They worship. Jesus, he is worthy of being worshiped. When you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see that John sometimes comes in contact with angels. They're so magnificent and powerful and awe-inspiring. He bows to worship them. And they said, no, we're a creator like you. Don't worship us. Worship just him. So hit pause. Church, what does this matter to us? Are any of you worshiping angels? Don't. Do any of you worship anything other than Jesus? Is there anything you're placing your hope on other than Jesus? This is basically saying, this is it, right? So don't be looking at a horoscope, or don't be reading the stars, or don't be trying to think that there's angelic beings that you need to have. Don't be praying to anybody other than Jesus. I mean, Jesus is it, all right? If you fix your eyes on anything other than him, you miss it. I mean, Jesus alone is to be worshipped. Angels, they're cool, they're powerful, they're mighty, but they're messengers, they're servants. Jesus, he's God. He's the one. And I think throughout time, there's times, here's what the church would think. I'm so unworthy that I don't deserve Jesus, so I'm going to worship an angel. I'll kind of worship the one below. I'll not go for that one. I can't speak directly to Jesus. I'll go through his mother, or I'll go through a saint. I'll go another way. And he's saying, no. Only one to be worshiped. Only one way. Only one truth. It's through him. Ruling versus serving. Jesus is ruling. Did you hear the words? Again, read back through this text. I mean, he's ruling the universe, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, it's basically saying, This Jesus, he's the same. He's immutable. He's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the creator. He spoke it into existence from the beginning. But watch this. He's saying creation itself one day is going to wear out. He's going to change it like a suit of clothes. But he'll never change. I mean, what's greater, Jesus or creation? Are you kidding me? He created it. One day he's going to change it out and bring a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, talk about ruling. I mean, Jesus, he's sitting at the Father's right hand. Why? Because he's earned that spot. His sacrifice was enough. What are angels doing? They're being sent. Angels are being sent to be messengers. Jesus is ruling as king. I mean, what a difference. Ruling versus serving. And he is ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's ruling the cosmos even today. And I love the fact he's the same. He's not changing. All of us are changing. Creation is wearing out. But not our great God. Worship him. Jesus, the message is greater than the messengers. Here's the beautiful thing about the gospel. Jesus is both the ultimate message and the messenger. He's the one who came from heaven to earth, but he came with good news. Good news of salvation. Now watch this. You may not know this. He's both the messenger and he is the message. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He is the one who bridges the gap home. Jesus is the message. He is the good news. He is the Son. There is no other. So, you know, other prophets came with a message that God has good news and he's going to come deliver a Savior. Jesus is that good news. And so what an amazing juxtaposition for Jesus, both the message and the messenger. God's ultimate message, God's ultimate messenger, God's ultimate priest, God's ultimate sacrifice, the suffering servant, and the king. So tonight we're going to have a Super Bowl champion. It will not be the New York Jets. It will not be the Buffalo Bills. Truth is, though some of those don't know it, I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago because I'm a big enough heathen to go to the Bills game. When they played the Chiefs, lost. Do you know that part of me was glad they lost? You want to know why I was glad they lost? Because you know how nervous I'd be for tonight? You know how bad it feels losing 5 Super Bowls? I only lost 4, right? But tonight, the San Francisco 49ers or the Kansas City Chiefs can say, we are champions of the world. They can say, we're the GOATs for a year. For a year, they can say it. They're the world's greatest until the next Super Bowl. But Jesus is the greatest of all times. Drop the microphone. Put away the trophy. Nothing can rival him. So here's the point. Where are you fixing your eyes? Where are you fixing your life? Who are you living for? King Jesus or King Self? I mean, what are you looking for your hope? My hope is built on nothing less, nothing more, nothing other than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I believe that he's the true trophy, and he is not only the messenger, but the message of heaven. He is the good news. He is God's Son. He is the King. He is the Lamb. He is the Savior. And there's nothing else other than worshiping him and being led by him as our King. Fix your eyes on him. Anchor your life to him. Two big things. Because life is going to go... And your eyes are going to get a little blurry and hazy. And I'm telling you what, when you got tears in your eyes, it always looks a little different, right? When circumstances come and things really stink and you're really hurting and really broken, it's hard to see straight. But when we fix our eyes on the one who's unchanging, the one who's conquered death and sin, and we know that he's opened up heaven, he lives to intercede for us, there's good news. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your Son is greater than angels. We thank you that there's no one like him, that he's so much greater. He's a son, they're servants. He's to be worshipped. Angels were worshipping beings. Lord, just forgive us, because it seems like so craziness. Why would we fix our eyes on anything other than Jesus? But we do. God, we fix our eyes on ourselves, on what the world has to offer, on money, sex, popularity, inheritance, jobs, relationships. And God, those are important things, but nothing is ultimate like you. And it's not like God, you want us just to fix our eyes on Jesus. You say that if we get our priorities right, if we seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added unto us. You'll help us align them properly. Jesus, you're the goat. You're the goat. And anything that we have in our lives that pretends to be the goat, love us enough to let it crumble. If we're building our lives on anything else, it's not stable. God, love us enough to help us fix our eyes on you. God, love us enough to help us anchor our life on you. Do your work in us. We're safe because you love us. We're safe because we're going to make it home. We're safe because you're not going to change your mind about us. We're yours and we're loved. Yeah, we're knuckleheads, but we're redeemed love knuckleheads by the goat. We pray in his name. Amen.